Let's check our markets.
And now on Money News, the Market Wrap. Trade with CMC Markets, the trusted trading platform for over 30 years. Trade your way at cmcmarkets.com. All trading involves risks.
And it was another very strong day for the Australian share market, buoyed by good international movements after the market closed on Friday, kicking off what is a four-day trading week with the Easter long weekend. The ASX 200 finished the day up 0.5% or 41 points rather to 7,811, only 36 points off the all-time high. There were strong gains across the real estate, the energy, the healthcare sectors, with discretionary stocks the only sector in the red. A takeover offer for oil and gas contractor MMA Offshore saw its shares climbing more than 10% to $2.60. And also with news of a takeover, real estate group McGrath, with shares up almost 25% on the day. Suggestions that scrap metal recycler Sims might sell its UK metals unit saw its shares rise up 2.6% to $12.21. And it was a good day as well for the big iron ore miners, with increased optimism out of China. Fortescue finished up 3.5%, Rio Tinto rose 0.9%, and BHP gained 0.2%. Going the other way today was the industrial company ALS, after it confirmed plans to take control of a struggling European drug research business, while also lowering its guidance. Shares were down almost 5% to $13.07. And the losses for discretionary stocks were led by Aristocrat, down 0.9%. The Lottery Corporation was off by 1.3%, and IDP Education fell 2.1%. Well, our Melbourne man, who doesn't know if it was Formula One drivers or the ASX that was racing harder across the last few days, is Elio D'Amato from Stockopedia. Elio, happy Monday to you.
Yeah, happy Monday to you too, Deborah, and to all your listeners. I must admit, I did have a look around for you at the track, but I couldn't see you anywhere. But it was a marvellous day. It was a cracking weekend, and yes, a shortened trading week. So that's the trifecta as far as I'm concerned.
You betcha.
Yeah, wish I could lock it up right now, but of course we've got a lot to talk about still.
We do. The takeovers happening everywhere at the moment. I want to start with McGrath, though, because the property sector's been absolutely barnstorming in recent times, only behind the tech stocks, really, for gains over the last year. Why are McGrath selling up?
Well, basically, unlike the properties they're selling, Deborah, the price of McGrath has been terrible since it listed on the market. In fact, the jump today that all investors saw might have been, you know, a little bit of comfort for short-term holders, but long-term believers, unfortunately, have seen nothing but loss after loss. In fact, Grandpa McGrath had to take over the business a few months ago because essentially it was on its knees and really struggling. And notwithstanding the growth in the earnings line, unfortunately, its aspirations were a little bit ahead of itself. And I think today's a case of, you know, taking the bat and ball and going home. And I think it's an inevitable outcome, which is a shame because, you know, operationally, I suppose if you could take out the debt and what it was carrying in regards to owing other estimates, look, it wasn't too bad.
And a strong brand as well. McGrath, people know that in the real estate sector.
Yeah, they certainly do, which is what the acquisition was mainly for, I think. It's the strong branding, and the rebound in the company does show there was a bit of legs left in it, but unfortunately, I think the heady days of the IPO and the aspirations that were had for it were some way behind it. It's not a real protected industry. Anyone can really open up a shop. You don't even need a license, I'm told. You just got to stick to a few rules and regs and you'll be fine. So, look, it's a tough industry. Always works for family offices and family companies, but really hard as a listed entity, especially when we're looking at them every single day, unlike property where it takes you 3 months to settle and the market takes you 2 days. So there's a big difference and big gap between, I think, yeah, small graces for what's been a pretty terrible run in our view. And, yeah, well done to short-term holders. But longer term, I think, yeah, it's just been a story of suffering, unfortunately.
And the other takeover, MMA Offshore, shot to the head of the pack today on a $1 billion takeover offer. Until we settle on a direction for the energy transition, do you expect we'll see a few more of these moves?
Oh, look, Deborah, I can remember, before you were born, I remember covering the stock as Mermaid Marine back in the day. And then, of course, this little tugboat operator located out west then got a few terminals and the like and got renamed MMA Offshore. And, yeah, they're paying a pretty penny for this. There is that definite appetite for a lot of the services that MMA provide. And I think what you've seen is a hefty premium because you've got to pay to play in this space. And investors in the energy space, excluding uranium, where they've had a pretty good run recently, have been a little bit frustrated. I mean, Woodside discovers a company making deposit in the Gulf of Mexico, and no one really cares. So it's tough, right? You can have positive announcement after positive announcement, and your price hardly moves. And ultimately, that just means that investors who want to participate have to pay to play, as it were, in order to get some of it. And what might appear on the surface is looking a little expensive, I suppose in the inner annals probably looked cheap. I mean, it's only a small premium to what their stock was actually trading at. And the fact the board are rolling over and having their tummy rub probably shows you that it is somewhat close to a relatively fair price. But I think, ex-China acquisitions basically just show us that, these companies are willing to pay up in order to get some of their earnings. And it's probably reflective of a broader market that should be worth more than where it is. But that's the reality of where we're trading at the moment. But it's why they're, taking up so much debt to make these acquisitions, because quite frankly, they're spinning cash. Don't take them long to pay it back.
Mm. Now, iron ore, we talk about it a lot. It's crucial to the economy, of course. Encouraging that we're finally getting some good news out of China. What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, look, when they had the Politburo meeting and they said they were going to meet 5% GDP targets, no one really believed them. And I don't think you need better evidence than the share market. But there has been a bit of talk recently that the Chinese government's got plenty headroom to conduct further stimulus of their economy. And you only need to look at the biggest partner in the US to figure out how much headroom they've got. I mean, the market has pretty much accepted the fact that steelmakers in China will be a little challenged and they're not going to have a good year ahead. But everyone's already looking towards other potential sources of iron ore and that they remain quite solid. And therefore, as a result, the price correction that we've seen has been a little overdone. Remember, it's not that long ago that it got under $100 a ton. I mean, Uber bears might even call, $20, $30 a ton. But it has definitely been on a downward trajectory. So the fact is, some are calling the bottom being in them on the commodity. The Australian government will be happy. In fact, the lucky country phenomenon runs well because, of course, the Aussie dollar has not been all that strong in recent times, which has helped a lot of our iron ore miners. If we were back at a dollar US, if it strengthened, then the Aussie dollar, if it had strengthened, it wouldn't be great at all. Whereas at the moment, the strength of the US dollar has been helping a lot of those producers. So, yeah, the big guys are going to be fine. So your BHP, Rio, Fortescue's cost of production is really low. No one drives trucks anymore. They're all automated, if you didn't know. But obviously, there's a lot of those mid-tier that use a lot of the big infrastructure. Costs are a little higher, and they're the ones that have been on the margin for quite some time and have probably seen a stronger rally. And in our view, probably tend to share the sentiment that it is cyclical, but it's the nature of being a price taker rather than a price maker. You've got to take what the market gives you. And they've a bit of a reprieve after what's been a pretty tough year.
Yeah, it certainly has been. Elio, always great to talk. Thanks so much.
No, you're welcome, Deborah. Have a good night.
Elio D'Amato there from Stockopedia.